the All Things XR podcast. Where you can get the best AR/VR analyzers from the biggest names in the field. Hi everyone, welcome to the All Things XR podcast. I'm Mojtaba. In today's episode, we talk about how ARKit affected AR space and life after ARKit. Our special guest is Martin Herdina, CEO of Wikitude. Hi, Martin.
Hello there. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks very much. So I think almost everyone in AR space know about Wikitude. But for those who don't, can you tell us more about yourself and your company, Wikitude?
Sure, I'm happy to. So yeah, my name is Martin. I'm Wikitude CEO. We're around for quite a while. We have been like the pioneers in this space. So the first AR app ever created has been made by Wikitude. Since then, our core focus has been in enabling augmented reality. So this means here at Wikitude, we provide tools, we build platforms with the main goal to enable AR for our customers and our partners. So this means we don't build AR apps ourselves, but we invest a lot to make sure that our partners and customers can create augmented reality apps as easily as possible and get the most out of the underlying systems.
Mm-hmm. Great. As you said, Wikitude is one of the pioneers in augmented reality field, but Wikitude has changed a lot from its beginning, from being an augmented reality browser to providing SDKs and toolkits for AR developers. Can you tell us more about this transformation?
Yes, you're correct. So Wikitude is around for quite a while. So we're just actually celebrating our 10th year anniversary this year. So
congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so we're really veterans in the space. Our founder's vision has always been to create an AR browser that's the kind of the door into the world of augmented reality. So this has always been kind of the initial plan and vision when founding the company. When I joined Wikitude in 2010, I tried to execute on this vision, but of course, days have been very early. So this was just like when the first phones came out with camera access and with sensor access. This was when things like computer vision and all these kind of fancy algorithms have still been in its infancy. So this means expectations have been way higher compared to what could be accomplished in real life. At the same time, the market simply wasn't there for an AR browser. And last but not least, when we kind of looked at ourselves, looked at the team's DNA, looking at what we can do well and what we cannot do well, we figured out that we are really strong when it comes to building technology, really strong when it comes to building operating platforms and tools and running APIs, mm-hmm. but not very strong when it comes about marketing end user brands or kind of positioning things towards the end user. And this is what made us change our strategy quite a bit. This is what made us execute a pivot in 2011 and 12 and really switch from being an AR browser with an end customer focus to be an augmented reality enabling platform. And yeah, since doing that, things go very well for us. And things are very exciting for us.
Sure, great. Me and my company, Pendar, have been partners with Wikitude from, I think, about 4 years ago. And we've been using Wikitude products in many of our applications. But the thing that shook AR space last year was the introduction of Apple's ARKit. Can you tell us how the introduction of ARKit affected AR companies like Wikitude?
So ARKit and then followed by AR Core launch by Google definitely had a huge impact on the market and still does. So We see that twofold. Of course, like ARKit is also an SDK. It's something that enables AR. And in that respect, to some extent, it's competitive to Wikitude. And that's definitely something we take very serious. And definitely that's something we consider as threat for Wikitude's business model. At the same time, competition at this point really shows that the market is taking off. So it's now Apple and Google are really entering the space so proactively. This really shows that there is a high potential in the market, that also those big gorillas see a high potential in this market. And of course, they fuel the whole industry. So they create so much buzz around this topic. They create such a big awareness for this topic among the broad user base and among the developer base that for Wikitude, that's a big benefit. So this means this is all marketing for the industry as a whole. This is marketing for augmented reality tools in particular. And that's exactly where Wikitude can benefit. So in terms of like an execution strategy, what we do, on one hand, we leverage ARKit because it's a very good technology. And if there are phones out there who have ARKit embedded, why should we reinvent the wheel? And really leverage the technology that's already available and provided by Apple. At the same time, it only works on a certain set of devices. It's even worse for Google's AR Core that only runs on less than 10% of all Android devices. At the same time, Wikitude is so much more than just ARKit and AR Core. So including features like cloud recognition, including things like object recognition, including things like geo augmented reality, all these are features that go far beyond what ARKit and AR Core can provide. And that's where we can really complement what's out there. And at the same time, what shouldn't be forgot, ARKit, AR Core are specific to certain operating systems and device groups. But when you think forward and think into the future, augmented reality, per definition, is a multi-user technology. So it's nice to place something on my desk virtually, but it starts getting really exciting when the two of us can interact with that virtual content piece together.
Exactly.
When the two of us can play AR games, when the two of us can really do some education and training aspects together. And that's exactly the value we can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Recently, Wikitude introduced SDK 8. Congratulations on that. Can you tell us what are the new features and what's new about that?
Yes, definitely. So SDK 8 and shortly followed by SDK 8.1 had like a number of very deep changes to the system. So on one hand, we're now offering a C++ API for OEMs and other kind of engineers who really want to dig very deep on the technology. Now we also support Windows 10, which is a great basis we see specifically in the enterprise space, where there is a demand to have augmented reality running on Surface devices and later on also on HoloLens devices. From a kind of computer vision standpoint, we on one hand made things like object recognition, markerless tracking, very lot stabler than it used to be. So now we are have a very, very high accuracy in that, very close to actually ARKit and AR Core solutions. And apart from that, we have added what we called scene recognition. So this means we extend objects and call them now scenes. And so this means you can now record full room structures, full building structures, and use that as kind of your scene to place augmented reality content. And again, potentially for a multi-user scenario. And last but not least, a feature we just released as part of 8.1 is plane detection. So something like our community had asked for very strongly. So being able to recognize planes, this could be floors, this could be ceilings, this could be walls, or any kind of arbitrary plane. And developers can then interact with that and place their content on elements identified through that new plane detection feature.
That's great. I think right now, Wikitude offers the most complete AR package, from different dev kits to platforms to devices, to different kinds of AR, as you said, like object recognition and location-based AR. Can you tell us actually how you cover all these areas?
Yes, I'm happy to do so. On one hand, it's the way we develop our platform. So we're not a huge team, but still we are a team that works very efficiently. We are a team that really kind of thinks in scale. And so everything we do, all development, all kind of procedures are really built for scaling. And that's how we kind of are able to really roll out things and distribute things the way we are. At the same time, we think platform. So we're not a closed system, we are an open system. And of course, there are many things we do in-house, many things we do based on our own tech. But at the same time, we work very actively with the community and with partners. So on one hand, we listen very closely what the community has to tell us. At the same time, we have also so-called plugin APIs and really encourage the community to extend our platform. So that's, we have partners who wrote like OCR plugins, number plate reading plugins. We have community partners who are really very excited about Adobe Flash, who are very excited about Yonic 2, about React Native. So this means they wrote plugins that connect Wikitude to React Native. And those are fantastic kind of interfaces and bridges that really help us to sustain a large platform and really keep extending the offering in the community.
Uh-huh. So, Martin, one of the most hyped concepts in AR space right now is AR Cloud. And you introduced a new concept in AW 2018 called MicroClouds. Can you tell us more about that and why AR Cloud is so important for the future of AR?
So first and foremost, AR Cloud is a very good marketing term. So like when you look at the industry, when you look at the research areas for the couple of years, there were like a few areas being dominant. And these include things like determining a precise location of the device compared to the reality. This includes things like creating persistent scenes. So think about, I want to place virtual furniture content in my living room. So this means I need to understand the room. I need to place my furniture there. And if I want to have my wife contribute to that scene, who comes 2 hours later, I need to store this kind of map and make it persistent. And finally, if we kind of work on this scene and this kind of piece of AR work together, it's all about kind of collaboration and multi-user AR. So these are the kind of working areas. And a few smart people put those together and call it AR Cloud, and which actually combines a few trends. So we used to call it the next generation of AR, but like AR Cloud is now a kind of industry term which actually meets or describes this whole scene very well. Coming to what does this mean for Wikitude? So when you think about the AR Cloud, at least how certain people define that, it's like a global phenomenon. It's something companies like Google are working on, or like even Niantic are working on for gaming use cases. It's kind of creating a visual representation of the whole world, like a point cloud that spans across the globe and allows to really position every device compared to the point cloud and being able to place persistent content there and share this in your community. From a Wikitude standpoint, we are positioned differently. So we're not a one-fits-all global provider. We work with dedicated partners. We're a white label provider. We're not a Google. We are a B2B provider. So that's why we emphasize on different things. We emphasize on things like privacy. We emphasize on things like controlled user groups. And that's exactly the basis for our concept of a micro cloud. So if I want to place an AR game in my living room, I don't want to upload that to a Google Cloud and share it with in a global point cloud.
Exactly.
My living room, that's a very private environment. And that's why, of course, I want to play multi-user AR games. I want to play them across operating systems and devices, but I want to keep this private to me. That's like a micro cloud in a gaming scenario. The same is, of course, true in an enterprise scenario. If I have like a manufacturing site, if I have a warehouse where I want to run augmented reality services. Again, that's something, the content, the site, the whole location, the whole map of this location belongs to that particular enterprise customer and that particular enterprise and should not be shared with a broad public. And again, that's a micro cloud. The kind of combines all benefits known in an AR cloud, but of course being restricted to a certain user group and very closely controlled by the respective administrator.
Great. So there will be multiple micro clouds, and do you think anyone will have a monopoly or a bigger AR cloud than others? You know, for example, big companies like Facebook, Google, Apple will have a central database for, or Niantic, as you said. Do you think that something will like that will happen?
Yes, definitely. So when you look at the areas Google is active in, I think there's no better party who can really provide such an AR cloud on a global scale. So Google invests in self-driving cars. Google kind of maps the whole world for Street View, for Google Earth. Google has a high competency in computer vision-based localization and tracking when you look at like AR Core. And I think Google is very good at kind of combining these areas of research to a global proposition. It's nothing that will be there 2019, probably not even 2020, but only kind of phases and stages. But there will definitely be a handful of companies. I think Google is a good example. I'm convinced that Niantic is exactly in the same path, following the same path based on their Pokemon Go, Harry Potter, and so propositions. And there might be two, three more who have the global scale and the firepower and the pockets to really operate such a global AR cloud. For us, it's a kind of smaller, specialized company. The micro cloud concept is already super exciting, and that's our way to go.
So can we say the scene recognition feature from SDK 8 is part of AR cloud?
Yes, exactly. So scene recognition is not as fancy marketing term as like an AR cloud, but actually that's exactly what it is. So we have a persistent map of a scene. This could be indoors, it could be outdoors. We have multiple users who can register against this specific session and this scene. We have like these users can be iOS users, can be Android users, can be Windows users. They can actually contribute to the scene actively and play some kind of AR game collaboratively. So yes, that's exactly one of the building blocks for a micro AR cloud.
So do you think there will be an standard for AR cloud where different companies, different big companies agree on to create the basis of AR cloud?
I think that's a very good question. And I think that's more in a kind of localization navigation area where there are like kind of multiple companies collecting point clouds. It could make sense having one kind of abstract layer, one kind of common standard, how this point cloud is being created in order for third parties to register against this point cloud or this AR cloud. But still, I think that's a far way out. I was attending a navigation conference last week in Miami. This was actually one of the topics. As of course, like GPS and other kind of localization technologies are heavily standardized. How does this combine things based on computer vision, such as in AR cloud? So that's actually something being actively discussed, but still there is some way to go until we have a common standard for AR cloud or computer vision based localization.
I see. Speaking of big companies, obviously every big company like Google, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, Snapchat, They all are working on augmented reality, and many believe that AR will be the next big thing. Of all these big companies, which one do you think has the best shot?
I think augmented reality is hard to, it's like such a broad term, and it's hard to tell who is going to be like the most successful company in augmented reality. I think as all companies have a different area of focus, like Snapchat is a lot around like social augmented reality. I think Google is very strong when it comes to things like navigation. Not clear the path Apple is going to take. Then, of course, there will be many hardware players like Magic Leap, probably also Apple, some companies from Korea and China who will be active in that space. So I think it will be a very homogeneous market. Mm-hmm. I think it's an area everybody needs to invest in, from like enterprise software companies over hardware companies over social companies. In terms of like public awareness, obviously I think Google will be the company that provides the biggest awareness in terms of augmented reality. But when you think about like entertainment, I think Facebook and Oculus have a great chance to really make a big splash. Of course, like Snapchat doesn't have like the exposure they used to have, but still they are pioneers in the space and they have a great user base that's also kind of young enough and open enough to really experience those new technologies. And then we'll see how things turn out over the next couple of years.
So of all these big companies being in the field, do you think startups still have a chance?
I think if we had to start Wikidoo today, it would be very, very difficult now to really start the market. And there are like 2-3 startups who actually entered the space last year. I think they are struggling to build up their ecosystem right from scratch. We are 10 years old, so I still like to call us a startup, even though 10 years is a long time. So I think we still act as a startup. We're still like agile enough. We still have innovative enough like a startup. But at the same time, we have the benefit of like 10 years of market experience. We have really read the market for 10 years. We have built up a partner network like Pendar. We have built up like an ecosystem. And we have all those good ties to the community. So we constantly receive feedback. What requirements are out there, what use cases will be the next big thing. And that helps us a lot to kind of compete as a 10-year-old startup with all those big fish in the pond.
Speaking of Magic Leap, probably the most famous AR company right now, they started shipping their first version of their goggles about a month ago. Have you tried them yet?
Yeah, I think Magic Leap is a very exciting company. I had the opportunity to try the glass 2 weeks ago, or the device 2 weeks ago, and I think it's very well done. Magic Leap's philosophy has always been to control a full stack. So starting very low from like a chipset level, over the hardware, over the display, over the operating system, over the SDK and application layer. And that definitely gives them a head start. Of course, it's very difficult to build all these things from scratch. And that's, of course, why they have such a high funding. But again, that's a very high endeavor. Not even Google and Apple do that, to really kind of cover everything in the stack. But I think the basis is a good one. I think from now on, it's really important, how can they evolve from a prototype to like a mass market device that's also affordable? How can they encourage the community to really build exciting use cases? And when talking about use cases, I think it's very important for Magic Leap to figure out what's going to be their domain. Are they going to be high-end entertainment devices like a PlayStation 4 on my nose? Are they going to move in the enterprise space? Do they go totally different routes, like going to medtech and kind of architecture and engineering? So I think they have multiple options they could choose from now on. I think they probably have like a very smart strategy, what they want to do. But still, the key question is now, how well they're going to execute from now on.
Martin, there's a debate right now about whether AR should be a feature of the application on top of application score, like for example Snapchat, or AR itself has the potential and can be the core of the application itself. What do you think about that, and which approach you think works best?
I think augmented reality is sometimes overestimated, or kind of sometimes expectations are being created that are simply too high. Augmented reality, it's a groundbreaking technology, but it's nothing more. It's a technology that it's only justified based on the right set of content, based on the right set of data. And without that, it has no value. So that's why it's really important to kind of embed augmented reality in a much bigger proposition. And of course, everybody claims, hey, I have an AR app, but like if the use case, the content and the data are not good, it's not a good AR app. When you look at Pokemon Go, AR is a nice add-on, but Pokemon Go is successful because they have a good brand, they have a fun game, they have a good balancing and have a good community. And augmented reality is like an important component, but it's not the, the reason why this game is being successful. Same is true when you think in the into the enterprise space, think about IoT use cases. So of course, it's fantastic to really display sensor values in robotics or in IoT, and augmented reality plays a fantastic role there. But of course, in order to play an accurate role in that, to really display the right values for the right person on a personalized level, you need the underlying structures, you need the data, you need an IoT platform, you need a user management. But if you combine those kind of technologies in a smart way, kind of augmented reality as a kind of add-on to an underlying platform, then it can create enormous value and really makes a difference like very few other technologies.
So one last question, Martin. What do you think will be the killer app for AR, and when will be AR's iPhone moment?
To me, there is no killer app for AR, and it's simply to what I mentioned earlier. So AR is a bridging technology and creates a difference if combined with a strong use case. And therefore, I think augmented reality is so broad. There are so many use cases and opportunities out there for AR. There will be thousands and hundreds of thousands applications where AR adds value, and not one simple killer application to me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you very much, Martin, for joining the All Things XR podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. It was like a very exciting discussion.